Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to the channel. Speaking now about President Donald J. Trump's visit to the People's Republic of China is a state visit, which is the highest expression of amity between sovereign states. Now, that's a bit curious, considering ideologically they're poles apart. Moreover, the United States knows that China is very active in espionage in the United States, has been operating illegal police stations in the United States and the US, indeed has jailed people for years for participating in these. Now, doubtless the USA is spying in China. But to say that they have very cordial relations is bogus. Okay, the UK and the United States or the USA and, well, until recently I would have said Canada, but France or Germany or Italy or many other countries, some non-Western countries, you could say they had very amicable relations, but not with China. But nevertheless, China is important. You can go for an official visit, which is one down from a state visit, which is not suggestive of the same degree of warmth between the two countries. Anyway, so the mood music was all positive, and Donald Trump is about to leave China. I remember he went on a state visit in his first term, visiting President Xi. And remember, he has publicly lauded President Xi. And previously, the president of China was limited to a 5-year term, renewable once, so 10 years maximum, had really untrammeled power. The only restriction being he, so far as any ever been a he, could only hold it for 10 years maximum. She has removed that. He's been elevated to the same status as Mao Zedong, Zhu Xi, and he could be president for life. And Trump obviously envies this. And talked about being allowed to have a third term on the bogus basis that Biden cheated an election, or something like that. Trump cheated with all these completely groundless claims of whatever falsification in that 2020 election. All right, so he was there in Beijing and visiting this 14th century compound where the Chinese political elite reside and work and so forth. So they've had their public banquet and so on. But there are a number of outstanding issues which show the relations are not quite as good, not remotely as good as they'd like to pretend. And one is the elephant in the drawing room, Taiwan, which they've agreed not to mention. Now, it's been long-standing American policy to be supportive of Taiwan, to hint they might fight to defend Taiwan, which China says is a breakaway province. Of course, legally, they're right. Almost the whole world recognizes Taiwan as a province of China, which broke away in 1949, and even Taiwan hasn't formally declared independence, styles itself the Republic of China, impliedly claiming to be the legitimate government of mainland China too. Now, it's democratic, that's true, but that doesn't mean it's not part of China. I know the Chinese regime is totalitarian, whereas Taiwan's a very free and admirable country. All right, now I'm not been remotely Sinophobic. I would just like China to become more like Taiwan rather than the other way around. Okay, the Chinese can determine their own political system, except, of course, the Chinese people don't have a say under how they live. Because there's no free expression, no strikes allowed, no demonstrations, and no free elections, all the rest of it. Challenging state power is a crime. Proposing independence for any region of China is punishable by life imprisonment. Life for a suggestion. Wow. So it shows how oppressive it is. Genocide against the Uyghur people, enslavement of the Uyghur people, and so on. So Donald Trump did hold back on selling some weapons before to Taiwan before this. It'd be telling to see whether he then authorizes the sale to go ahead. Had he allowed the sale to go ahead, the Chinese might have cancelled this visit. Another thing is obviously they disagree sharply on Iran. They're diametrically opposed views because, of course, the US is the one launched this illegal war of aggression against Iran, and Iran is an ally of China. For years, I thought, why don't the Iranians invite the Chinese to set up military bases in Iran? Then the USA, Israel, and others will be reluctant to bomb it in case they accidentally hit the Chinese. And now the Chinese military bases are right beside the Iranian ones. The Chinese would have some sort of control of the Straits of Hormuz. China is buying Iranian oil and so on. Chinese ships or ships bound for China, as are the few that allow through the Straits of Hormuz unmolested and so forth. The China would like to see the US given a bloody nose. Probably even more than that, they'd like the conflict to end now. Could they mediate an end to this? Like the beginning of the Ukrainian war, I was thinking that China might twist Russia's arm. Come on, end this now. It's driving up oil and gas prices. It's driving up food prices. It's hurting our economy. We purchased these things. Okay, you said there was cut price, but other countries are paying too more for them, too much for them. They don't have enough spare money to be buying our manufacturers and so forth. Okay, but one thing that the Chinese really do like about President Trump is he doesn't care about democracy, human rights in the least. There'll be no pesky questions about political prisoners. There'll be no criticism of their appalling record and torture of people. There'll be no criticism of abortion, particularly forced abortion, and so on. There'll be no mention of denial of religious freedom and so forth. Okay, so that they know how to butter him up. It's very easy. You can play him like a fiddle, a man of such raging vanity. All you have to do is to caress his ego and so on. There he is. Now, President Xi has supposedly said he will not sell any weapons to Iran. He could easily break that one. Would the Americans be able to prove it? The Chinese would just deny it anyway. And after the last visit that went ahead several years ago to Trump's first term, supposedly that went very well. It didn't stop Trump then putting all these tariffs on China. So you never know where you are with him. You give him everything he wants, and he could turn on a dime. He can perform a volte face any time. And then, remember North Korea, fire and fury, threatening to annihilate North Korea to within a year. We fell in love. Absolutely nauseating, him heaping praise on the cruelest tyrant in the world. And the Republican Party let him get away with it. It shows what a cult of the personality they are. How sick is that? Anyway, so Donald J. Trump is trying to get the Chinese to purchase American oil so they don't have to buy Iranian oil. Now, I don't know the practicalities of that. How much does the US export? What the price is going to be? The logistics of do they have enough tankers or what have descended to China? I don't know. A lot of Boeing jets, a lot of comestibles and so forth. So would they be able to reduce these tariffs? But anyway, the Chinese at least have given themselves a chance of getting a better deal out of this. Now, the Chinese supposedly have been parleying with the Iranians and the Americans, trying to see if they can hammer out a deal. Pakistan was the venue for some face-to-face negotiations, which ended up producing nil. There's the supposed ceasefire, rather limited ceasefire, which Trump said a few days ago is on life support. But this has gone on well over 60 days without congressional authorization. He's gonna have another 30 days to bring the troops home. There's no sign he's gonna do that, but he hasn't seized Kharg Island, which a lot of people thought he was going to do. He could yet do. He hasn't taken down all his bridges. He hasn't gone to the highest level of aggression. But he can ramp up this escalation. How can he get himself out of it? And the Iranians could keep going for months, but they're definitely suffering. And also the Americans, they managed to inflict a lot of damage, suffering almost no losses themselves because they used a lot of their super sophisticated missiles and so on, so that they can wreak havoc on Iran without sustaining serious loss themselves. But those are very expensive systems and they're not a lot of them. And the cupboard will be close to bare. So the Iranians know this, that the Americans can't go on like that much longer. Is it even legal when that 30-day extension ends for them to go on? That's disputable. That could go to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court says no, it's illegal, no congressional authorization, you had 60 days to use force, you had a further 30 days to bring the troops home. You haven't done that. War's over. And Trump, would he defy that and then order the military? Would they disobey the president, the commander in chief, because he's in breach of the Constitution? That is a real head scratcher. Trump has really wrecked things for the US and the Republican Party, indeed the world, by pushing up these oil and gas prices, which obviously hurts the Chinese too, because yes, they purchase oil and gas and they can't get all their needs from Russia, and Russia's selling to them below market price because they need to keep them sweet. But the point is, China's customers, particularly the Western world, they have less disposable income. Because these high oil and gas prices, so they don't have as much money to buy Chinese goods. So, despite the supposed positivity of this visit, there's no substantive outcome. There's no deals inked. There's a complete lack of precision. Trump is just not a details man. He's very broad brush stroke, and his supposedly peace proposal for Iran was on one page. Was that Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was thousands of pages long. It was painstaking, took about 7 years to negotiate, partly because they had to put every jot and tittle about the mechanisms for inspecting the Chinese, sorry, the Chinese, the Iranian nuclear program, and exactly what limits were allowed and so forth, so there could be no dispute, was this within the terms of the agreement or not? And then it worked, and it worked swimmingly, and the whole world was a lot better off until Trump came and tore it up, and look where we are now. All right. So he's such an ignoramus, he's such a loudmouth. He's the world's worst diplomat because he's so gaff prone. He's so, well, I wouldn't want to say candid, what just rude. He's vile. And of course, he's very easily exploitable. What an easy mark, because he's so imbecilic and he brings it all back to himself. And it's not just about him as an individual. The USA is 340 million people. Trump won't be president for much longer, but he is so infantile. He always refracts it through the prism of his own ego. Yeah. Now, it's true that the person-to-person relationship matters somewhat, but that's certainly not everything. But Trump is so dim, he honestly doesn't grasp that. All right. So, I mean, not a bad outcome. What would have really worried me is if it was, all ended in harsh words, and the Chinese might encourage the Iranians to fight on longer, or there were more tariffs put on either side, or something like that, or more economic support for North Korea, something like that. And North Korea, that's another bugbear that they didn't mention. A Chinese vassal state almost is a problem for the USA that China can turn up or turn down, depending on American cooperation and other issues. All right, and then Cuba didn't say much about that. Now the Chinese obviously have lacerated US foreign policy on these issues, America's illegal actions and aggressions and interferences, but they played down that rhetoric recently in the run-up to the visit for fear of alienating Trump. Maybe he wouldn't come. All right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.